Matthew chapter 24, please. I want to read several places in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35. The Lord Jesus is speaking at the close of what is usually called the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Mark's Gospel chapter 3. Gospel of Mark chapter 3. Verse 28, again the Savior is speaking. "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness." And this last clause of this verse is one of the most solemn ever uttered by the Lord Jesus. Our English Bible says, "but is in danger of eternal damnation." Mr. John Nelson Darby's very excellent translation of the New Testament reads like this, for this last clause, "but lies under the guilt of an everlasting sin." Please read with me in Mark 9, verse 43 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. "If thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." The last book of the Bible now, Revelation chapter 5. Verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts," or four living creatures, actually, "and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain." A lamb standing as though it had been slain. Now one more great gospel text, John 5 and verse 24, which we have preached from and quoted frequently during these meetings. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." My subject tonight is eternity. We have read of words that last for eternity. We have read that of sins that will lie upon the sinner for all eternity. We have read about fire that never will be quenched for eternity. We've read of a lamb standing in the midst of the throne. And that blessed lamb of Calvary is the lamb freshly slain for eternity. And then we read in John 5 and 24 of having life for eternity. I have to tell you tonight that I am totally incapable of impressing upon you the realities of eternity. But we believe that God is able through His Word to impress your heart. And we know that this happens. And we know that God is able to awaken a sinner so that he stops thinking in terms of time and begins to view life and death in the light of eternity. Actually, God has set eternity in men's hearts. So we do have that tonight, that in the heart of every man and woman, boy and girl, eternity has been set. You are a creature for eternity. And yet eternity is beyond our thought. It has been said that if you took the wisest man the world has ever known and asked that man to concentrate all his ability to think his way into the future. If that man were to use all the ability of his mind to project his thoughts ahead, further, 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 into the distant future, where that man could no longer penetrate, put a stake in there, an eternity has just begun. To sum it up is all in vain, or reach the ration's endless chain. For when time's ages all have run, eternity has just begun. The joys of heaven their foretaste show, the woes of hell begin to glow. Then think, my friend, where will you spend eternity without an end? What if this is real? I must say that to you tonight. I must try to impress you, friend. What if this is real? Some men were talking together one day about hell and about eternal judgment. And in their own great intellects, they came to the conclusion, it's not real. It's not true. But another man listening to the conversation said to them, what if it is? What then? What if it is? Oh, friend, if what we are preaching from this Bible is true, and you miss Christ, and you miss heaven, yours is a loss that no tongue can ever tell. What a tragedy to lose your soul for eternity. What an awful thing to be lost and damned forever. The words of Christ will stand for all eternity. What kind of a man could make a statement like this? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, C.S. Lewis, the Cambridge professor, used to say, a man who made a statement like this and was not God would be the same kind of a man who says he's a poached egg. I know that's rather ridiculous, but I think it gets across the great reality of this. Here's a man, and he's standing in this world. In fact, he's standing in an obscure little corner of this world, and the great events of the nations are going on, and he is there in that little backward area of earth. And he dares to say, heaven and earth shall pass away, and my word shall not pass away. What kind of a man is he? Don't you see that the claims of the Lord Jesus to being God are the greatest claims that have ever been made? Nobody but God could ever say this. There are two great illustrations in nature of long time. One of them is so obvious to you here in Vancouver. The Bible uses the mountains and the hills as an illustration of great age. It talks about the chief things of the ancient mountains and the precious things of the everlasting hills. And surely you are impressed with that. These are unchanging things as far as we are concerned. The mountains, they're always there. They seem to be so much the same in shape, and even though the coloring and so forth changes from season to season. Oh, my dear friend, even those ancient mountains will all pass away. The Bible actually tells us that the earth shall be removed, and the mountains shall be carried into the midst of the sea. And here is a man who says, heaven and earth shall pass away. That's the other great illustration in the Bible of the ages of time, the great length of them. Of old hast thou laid the foundations of the earth. The heavens are the work of thy hands. Listen to what it says in Psalm 102. These words have been impressed on me today. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. even the starry heavens will change. I sat with a group of professors some years ago in the University of Manitoba. These men are all research scientists. And I said to them, would you men agree that we live in an aging universe? Would you all agree that this universe is growing older? Yes, they said. Then I said, you must agree that it was once younger. Yes. And there must have been a time when it all began. Yes. It is growing old. It is growing older. And my dear friend, here's one who says, heaven and earth shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. He was the Lord of eternity, and he is in time. He was the Ancient of Days, and he became the Infant of Days. Here is the Lord of history, and he became part of his own history. And he was here, and he walked here on earth as a man. What a man he is. And his words are eternal. And if you don't pay attention to them, you are making an awful mistake. We read in that solemn passage in Mark chapter 3 about sins that will last forever, lying under the guilt of eternal sin. What is heaven? Well, I'm glad to tell you what heaven is to me. Can I tell you what heaven will be to me? When I see the Lord Jesus, I'm going to be changed. You say, yes, you're looking forward to getting rid of the wrinkles and the gray hair. Oh, no. No, that's not really what I'm looking forward to at all. You know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to the moment when I'll be done with sin. Sinful self. Pride and selfishness. Every selfish thought removed. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. I'll be finished with it forever. You know, the penalty of my sins was borne by my Savior when he hung on the cross at Calvary. But I still know the presence of sin. I still know that within me is a nature that is sinful. Some blessed day I'm going to be done with sin forever. And I'm looking forward to it with great anticipation. And I long for that blessed day. What will hell be then? It will be to lie under the weight of eternal sins. It will be never to know rest, never to know ease, never to have peace. Who are these people who lie under the weight of an everlasting sin? They are people who rejected Christ. Now, I want to tell you tonight that blaspheming against the Holy Ghost is not some words a person might say. Please understand this, lest you make a great mistake. These are not some words you might say. This is an attitude toward the Lord Jesus. This is actually an attitude not only toward Christ, but toward the Holy Spirit who gave witness to him. He didn't just bear witness of himself. The Father bore witness of him. The Holy Spirit bore witness to him. The mighty works he did, the mighty miracles, the mighty power of his words. When the sea heard his voice, when the waves were stilled, when the wind ceased, when the rocks shook and trembled and broke by the power of the voice of the Son of God, when a dead man walked out of his grave under the power of his almighty voice. My dear friend, I want to remind you tonight that the Lord Jesus has spoken. And you can listen, or you can refuse. That to me is a most interesting fact. I know there are creatures in God's creation that have no alternative. I know that God has created a universe where there are many aspects of that universe that do what they were created for and nothing else. You are a moral creature. You are different from the animal kingdom. Don't talk about a bad dog. What you're doing is you're attributing to a dog something that belongs to the human family. You see, they don't have any moral nature whatever. You do. I do. Therefore, before God, I can hear the voice that calls in tender love. I can heed the invitation of a loving Savior and come to Him in all my sin and guilt and trust in Him and be saved. Or I can turn away, as we heard last night from Hebrews 12 and 25. See that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall not you escape if you turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. I don't know anything more tragic than to turn away from God. For my friend, God will turn away from you. That's the great tragedy of turning from God. He'll from you sadly turn, your bitter cry for pardon spurn. Too late will be the cry. Jesus of Nazareth has passed by. Oh, my friend, do you not understand tonight this is for eternity? And should you lose your soul, you will lie under the weight of eternal sins. The sins of your life, the sins of your heart, the sins of your mind, the sins of your hands, the sins of your feet, the sins of your tongue. You will lie under the weight of eternal sins, never to be alleviated, the load never to be lifted. You know, I have to tell you that the man I was saved, the burden was gone. I want to tell you that the load was lifted. I didn't know I was saved by a feeling, because I was looking for feelings, and I tried to get feelings, and I tried to feel I believed, and it never did work. And I finally had to get past all that, and get past all my feelings, and get to the great reality that Christ had truly died for me. And it happened, and I couldn't change it, and I couldn't believe it to make it true. But I did believe it because it was true. That blessed Savior became my Savior that moment. But do you know, the moment I understood He died for me, the Lord. I walked home that night, a clear, starry night, all alone. I came to a park, shortcut. And I went through the middle of the dark park. And I stood in the middle of the park and I looked up at the stars in the heavens. And I thought, the God who gave all that, made all that, gave His only Son to die for me. And I thanked Him that night in that park from my heart. And I've been trying to thank Him ever since that He would love me so. Friend, have you ever thanked Him? I preached that one night in a meeting many years ago, 1959 it was, I remember the year so well. And your young man had gone through the meetings, God was working, and numbers of souls were saved in those meetings, but one young man, his name was Lorne, had gone through the meetings unsaved. I went to see him the morning after the meetings closed, and I never forget knocking on the farmhouse door, and I heard he's a big fellow, and I heard him pounding down the steps. He'd been upstairs and been down the stairs, and he opened the door. You know what he said to me when he flung open the door? Oh, Mr. Crawford, I have thanked Him. He died for me, and I have thanked Him. I wonder, friend, have you ever thanked Him? You'll lie forever under the awful weight of the damned. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I wouldn't want to take the place of any person who is unsafe tonight. Not for all the wealth of all the world, and friend, I mean that with all my heart. I have never seen this world produce happiness in anybody. A dear man by the name of Robert McClintock in the city of Toronto took me with him one night into a place called the Granite Club. And I'd never been in a place like that before, or never been in one like it either since. It's a millionaire's club in the city of Toronto. And before we went in, Mr. Robert McClintock, who's a true believer, said to me, "You won't find any happy faces here." I said, "Is that right?" "No," he said. "No, nobody here is happy." And I went in, and here's a huge lobby and all these men sitting around. You know, he was absolutely right. why there was misery written on those countenances. I looked around at those men and I thought, thank God, I've got more wealth than they ever dreamed of. I have my sins all forgiven. I have everlasting life. I have my soul saved for eternity. What else matters, man? Don't miss Christ. Don't lie under the weight of an everlasting sin of rejecting the Savior. There is everlasting fire. There is fire that never shall be quenched. I preached last night. I had tried to preach. But when the Savior spoke of it, he spoke of it with tears. The compassionate heart of Christ went out to lost men. He saw them as sheep. He saw them perishing. He saw them wandering on in their sins away from God down to eternal judgment. And the heart of the Savior went after them. And his heart still goes after you tonight. His eye of love is downward bent, still ranging to and fro, where'er in this wide wilderness there roams a child of woe. And as the rebel chooses wrath, he mourns his hapless lot. Deep breathings from his heart of love, I would, but ye would not. Tonight the Savior would save you from the everlasting fire. Risk it, friend. Let me plead with you tonight from my heart. Seriously consider your soul. Seriously consider your sins before a holy God. Seriously consider eternity. I was reminded today of the Nuremberg trials. Any of you here tonight are not old enough to remember those trials. They took place after the Second World War. We have been reminded of them recently. It was a trial of war criminals. And the judges who tried those men were attacked viciously by the lawyers for the defense. And this was the attack. By what laws are you judging these men? The laws of England? The laws of America? By what laws are you judging? You cannot judge people of another nation by your laws, they said. I tell you, if you don't know anything about law, I can tell you that was a potent defense. How can you judge these men by laws that you have made? And they're not even in your land or part of your land or citizens of your country. How can you judge them by that? You know what the Nuremberg judges said? There is a law above the law. That's what they said. They said there is a righteous standard above the laws of men. Greater, higher, and holier. And when they were pushed right to it, the chief magistrate on the bench said, we are judging these men by the laws of God. O friend of ours, the laws of God. Let me tell you, it's God you've sinned against. It's God you're dealing with. It's not these preachers. It's not these Christians. It's God you're dealing with. These are the holy laws of the universe. These are the laws of the God who holds your breath. Don't make the mistake of not getting the matter settled out of court. Don't go into trial. Don't stand before the judge, or you will find the power of his law and the power of his authority. And there is everlasting fire. My brother will preach to you about the Lamb, standing in the midst of the throne, perhaps, telling you about the living Christ who died, whose blood was shed, who, when he was seen by Thomas, bore the wounds of his suffering. Not scars, friend, wounds. Wounds of the Savior. Oh, there is the wound of Christ, standing in the midst of the throne. And the whole universe above him. And he would be your Lamb tonight if you'd have him. He would be your Savior. And you could know that you possess eternal life. Life for eternity. You can have it. God grant you'll receive it tonight.